Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. Wanted to give you a bit of a bonus this week, a podcast extra, if you will. I had the opportunity to sit down with the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, on set live on our Fox 11 News at 6 p.m. And it's a conversation that really felt like the Issue Is, so I thought, why not include it here? It's an important conversation. It's the first time she's visited us live in studio in many, many years. And we really dig into the issues at play in terms of where LA goes from here, the National Guard, the riots, the curfews, the lessons learned, her future. It came on a day when there was a lot of confusion at Dodger Stadium over Border Patrol showing up, which some people thought was ICE, which wasn't ICE, and what exactly they were doing and all the rest of it. And so it was a timely conversation, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. Here's Mayor Bass.
The mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass. I think this is your first time in studio live on our 6 o'clock show, so it's great to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. So what do you know about what happened at Dodger Stadium today?
Well, you know what, Alex? This is the problem. We don't know. Officers are just showing up. We don't even know what type of officers they are. Their mask, as you saw, they don't present their ID. It said Border Patrol. Are they Border Patrol? Are they ICE? Are they Federal Protective Services? It is a sense of confusion and chaos. Our police department, our police chief, had no knowledge of this.
So is there something that can be done to ensure that people have to present IDs or badges if somebody is arresting somebody?
Well, you know what? That is supposed to be what happens, but we're in a situation where people are not exactly following the rules or following what had been normal protocols.
Right. So, and is that the, also the protocol for the LAPD?
Yes, the LAPD absolutely has to show you their ID. And so you can just imagine the confusion that presents, and also the bad position that puts our police department in, because they're called out to defend the situation and they're not even sure what's going on. Why were they there? Were they staging because they were getting ready to do raids? Were they there because they wanted to do processing? They didn't even notify the Dodgers, they just showed up.
So we know that during the fires, you were public about the fact that you had a good working relationship with Susie Wiles, who was the White House mm-hmm. chief of staff. Mm-hmm. Are you talking to her about any of this?
Well, actually, in the beginning, I did, but recently I haven't been. I also know that she's been very focused on the foreign policy right now. But yes, I mean, if you think about the fires, and you heard me say a number of times, and it's a controversial thing to say in Los Angeles, but give credit where credit's due, the administration was very supportive in terms of in the Palisades, which is the only area that I'm focused on, in terms of getting us a tremendous number of Army Corps of Engineers so that we could get the debris cleared. Now we're in this situation that is completely perplexing to me. I mean, why are we here?
So, I mean, have you talked to Stephen Miller?
No, I've never spoken to Stephen Miller.
So if you call the White House, do they call you back?
I put in a formal request to speak to the president. I've not spoken to them yet. But really, this has created a sense of fear and terror in our city. And it's having such an incredible toll. It's having a toll on the economy. It's having a political toll in terms of creating confusion, and it's having a real personal toll in terms of families.
Well, let's talk about the economy, because mm-hmm. you visited some of these businesses downtown, mm-hmm. and I know some of them told you that the situation's worse than COVID, because essentially they got a situation where their employees are afraid to come to work.
That's right.
Right, and some of their customers are afraid to come,
that's right.
come as well. And that's people are afraid to come to downtown at all because they think there's gonna be chaos.
That's right, but we need to be very clear. There has not been in chaos downtown for several days.
Right.
And the last time there were arrests, it was on Sunday. There have been nothing happening. It was the business community that appealed to the city hall to say, please give us a curfew. We did it. And the minute the rest went away, we lifted the curfew. And hopefully that will help the traffic downtown.
So, let's talk about the curfew in a second. But just in terms of the business impact on
right.
Los Angeles, because I know we already had a budget challenge in
That's
terms
right.
of money going into this. What are you seeing and what are you doing about that?
Well, let me just give you an example. The Garment District, 4,000 independent businesses. It's a ghost town. I was in Mariachi Plaza on Father's Day. I visited restaurants. No one was there. You know, there should have been lines out in front. And so we have to make sure that people know their rights, But the bottom line is that the chaos that has been created by the administration, we were fine before the raids. Once the raids started, that's when chaos started. And it seems to be unprovoked. I don't know what led to them focusing on us, but I do feel like we're a part of an experiment. What happens when the federal government rolls up in a state and decides to take power away from the governor? That's exactly what has happened here.
So in terms of the curfew, hindsight 2020, do you wish that it started sooner?
No, I think it started when it should have. It started always in collaboration with the business community. We certainly didn't want to do it too soon because, again, we're worried about business, and business is not like it was booming in downtown to begin with.
Yeah, but then we had moments. I mean, on Monday night, I was broadcasting live, and there was this video that sort of went viral. President Trump even talked about it, and it was an image of a guy hammering the sidewalk. Here's some of those images right here. Mm-hmm. The police was right down the street watching a lot of this, and nothing was being done.
Well, let me just tell you that the images that have been presented, especially that President Trump has focused on, is creating a sense of absolute chaos in Los Angeles, and you know that this whole incident was in about four blocks. But, and so even if you look at the businesses outside of the protest zone.
Yeah, I agree. And I've made that point publicly as well. And this is like 99% of the city did not have problems. But let's talk about that 1% because they're really feeling this. So when you see images like this of people burning down cars and hammering the street and all of that, should the LAPD have done more in real time to stop it?
Well, you know, first of all, you know that I have absolutely no tolerance for this. I don't think this has a thing to do with fighting for the immigrant community in our city. And I think people have to be held accountable. And whether they were arrested on that night doesn't mean that they're not going to be held accountable because there's tons of videotape. And as you probably have seen, people have been arrested days later. So this is unacceptable. The graffiti, the vandalism, absolutely unacceptable, and we're going to hold people accountable.
Because some people have come forward and suggested that you had issued a stand down order to the LAPD.
Let me just tell you, the Los Angeles Police Department knows how to do law enforcement. Yeah. I'm the mayor. Why would I ever do anything like that? That absolutely, positively never happened.
So are there lessons learned from what did happen in those early days?
Yes.
If there are more protests, what have you learned to maybe do differently in the future?
Well, let me just say that I think in terms of the community that comes out to protest, 99.9% of them are there peacefully. And so I was actually in discussion with a number of people today. How do we work with our activist community to get them to understand what it means when you have federalized National Guard? So if you decide to engage with them, if you decide to throw a bottle at them, people need to understand that that's going to be a felony. It's not going to be a lightweight charge. And so I think on the activist side, making sure that the real activists who are concerned about immigrant rights are separated from those that are there to make trouble. And frankly, those people are there regardless. Those people are there after the World Series, after a Laker game.
Yeah,
we know that.
Them during Occupy LA. We've seen them in so many different things. It's oftentimes the same people. So is there more that can be done to get them locked up so that they're not out there doing this time and time again?
Well, and you know what? I mean, and I think that LAPD does what they can. But can I tell you something, though, that we need to think about? We need to think about the National Guard that is federalized. We need to think about the Marines. You know, those are young women and men who are on this deployment, brought away from their homes, their families, their education. And to me, it's like using them as props. Take them away from their school, take them away from their employment to do this deployment that is not needed is not only cruel, but it's impacting their families too. I think on Father's Day, the children that were waiting for their fathers to come home, that they have missing fathers because they were detained, the people who were here legally that showed up for their immigration appointment that's required every year and they get detained, this chaos needs to stop, and it can only stop out of the White House.
And we should point out, because I think a lot of people don't realize the fact that the National Guard, they're not full-time troops.
No.
They get pulled in from, and they work in lots of businesses. They live in communities all over
They've
California.
They've lost their jobs. They've been kicked out of school.
Right.
Their families have been disrupted.
And
And
we have no idea how long that this whole thing is going to last.
No, and some of those young people had long deployments because of the wildfires.
Right.
And now they're back again.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, because we had John Rigardi on the show last night, who gave you a lot of credit for your leadership here and said, frankly, it's quite kind of a contrast from what we saw during the fires, where you had a lot more criticism of, mm-hmm. of you. Mm-hmm. Are there lessons you learned during the fires that you have now applied here differently? Is there anything that you learned in terms of maybe speaking out more or getting out there sooner or a different approach?
You know what? Those are such apple and oranges. I don't see any comparison at all. You're talking about a mass tragedy. You're talking about people who were seriously grieving. And now you're talking about something that was never a problem to begin with. When the Trump administration decided that they were going to do these raids and frankly use us as an experiment, mm-hmm. because I think what they're testing out here is how strong is the public's appetite? Will they object to the seizure of power from the federal government to the state? We're all a part of an experiment, and I resent that. LA was already struggling. We are a year away from the World Cup. We need to be focusing on the future, not running around. So now you have people all around the city who are afraid to go to work. You have nannies that won't show up, gardeners that won't show up, stores that are closed because they can't come out.
You know, the administration would say that the sanctuary city policy is in part to blame. They say that if they could go into the jails and they could basically take people out there, they wouldn't have to be in the streets and there wouldn't be collateral damage. Now, I understand they're mm-hmm. doing a lot more than that, and they're picking up a lot of other people. But is there some sort of compromise on the sanctuary policy?
Let me just tell you, we have a lot of cities in our country.
Yeah.
And most of them aren't sanctuary cities. Why did you come here? Why? Why did you come to the nation's second largest city? Why did you do the body blow to our economy?
Why do you think it is?
Because I think that they're experimenting with us. They want to see if they can get away with the seizure of power in the nation's second largest city, in the state with the fourth largest economy on earth. Mm-hmm. Then they can do it anywhere. I don't like our city being used like that.
But in terms of the sanctuary city policy, is there maybe an argument that we could do some of this behind bars and give some of these people
way? But you see, but the thing about it is that I don't think that's the issue. I mean, that's the issue in the sense that they want to punish us because this is our policy. But what does that have to do with anything? How is that making us safer for them to do raids like this? People are terrified all over the city. Kids are missing their fathers. Kids don't know whether or not to go to school. Parents don't know whether or not to go to work. They have destabilized entire families where now we're talking about food deliveries because people don't want to go to the grocery store. This has been an issue that I've worked on, frankly, for decades, since the 1980s. Mm-hmm. It was an issue that I worked on in Congress because of the separation of families. So this is nothing new to me.
You know, there's some people that will hear this, though, and say, look, these people came here illegally, and this was the risk that they run, and why should we be protecting people who are here illegally?
You know what? This started off with, we want drug dealers, we want violent criminals, we want gang members. I'm hard-pressed to see the people that they're rounding up as fitting any of those categories.
Yeah.
Basically, Stephen Miller said he wants to arrest 3,000 people a day. That's a random number. What is he trying to accomplish?
Well, he's trying to get rid of all people that are here illegally.
But I mean,
that's what he ran on. Trump ran on mass deportation.
How are we going to have a construction industry?
Right.
How are we going to have an agricultural industry in our state? How is the garment district going to work? How are our restaurants going to work? We have entire sectors of our economy that are dependent on immigrant labor.
Final question.
Yes.
What is your message to the people of Los Angeles who are scared tonight, scared to come out of their homes,
right,
want to see leadership, want to see somebody fighting back? What do you say to them in terms of what they should do?
Well, first of all, they're going to see me fighting back. They're going to see me fighting back on every single level because I think it's such an extreme injustice. But I also think that we are going to do everything we can to protect our communities, to make sure that people know their rights. If they need food delivered or if they need other resources, this is a time for Angelenos to stick together. All of us, our entire city is being invaded. You talk about the invasion of Stephen Miller. I think we have the invasion of the federal government.
Mm. What gives you hope right now?
What gives me hope is our city, is the fact that we're not putting up with this, is the fact that you don't see Angelenos fighting against each other. You don't see people out in the streets saying, yes, deport those people. Nobody is doing that. People are very empathetic for what's going on.
Mayor Bass, thanks so much for coming in. I know
it's good
such
to be
an
back
important
on
moment, and we could also talk about homelessness and the fires, and hope we have other time to
well,
do
I'll
that
be
in
back.
The future. But it's always great to see you, and I appreciate the Dodger blue. Go Dodgers. All right.
Our thanks to Mayor Bass, and our thanks to you for listening. This is a bit of an extra, but also this week we posted a conversation with Arnold Schwarzenegger from Austria. I really hope you'll check it out. It's really an amazing show. We're really proud of it. And then we'll see you next week for more of The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. Have a great one.